We've been talking to other committees.
We will call the Gage County Board meeting for Wednesday, January 10th, to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Happy New Year, everyone. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. But first, finalize any old business. Anything on the table that we need to take care of before we call the year? If not...
Where do we start?
I'll declare the 2023 session formally closed, sign and die, and hand it over to Don Hill, the clerk.
Okay. We will now be ready to take the reorganization for the Board of Supervisors for 2024, and I will ask for nominations for chairman of the board. Terry?
Finish?
Yep.
You're done?
I'm ready.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Teeman for that position. We've had a lot of issues down through the years that he's been in charge, and I think he's done a great job in resolving those issues. So that's my call.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for chairman? One more time. Are there any other nominations for chairman? Well, someone would like to make a motion to cease the nominations and cast unanimous ballot for Mr.
So move.
Second.
Jurgens and second by Dorn. Is that what I heard over here?
Whatever.
I suppose.
Is it Dorn or was it Lytle?
I think you had four seconds.
I'll give it
time.
To you, Gary.
I think he was quicker, actually.
Okay, well, you got it now.
You were louder.
Yeah, it's official. Okay, if everyone's ready, we'll vote. 7-0, motion carry. I will turn the meeting back over to the chairman.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. I really do enjoy working for you guys on this side of things. We get to work for the public, but on this side, I get to work for you guys, too, and I really do enjoy it. I appreciate the chance.
I'd like to say something. I'm relatively new compared to the rest of them, although I've been here before, and I think that, you know, you have a lot on the ball. You're very knowledgeable about what goes on, and I really appreciate, you know, you being here. And sometimes I don't agree with you, but that's okay. That's what life's all about. Okay, so.
It's healthy.
Thank you, Dave. We have a vice chairman to elect. I'd ask for nominations for vice chair.
I nominate Gary Lytle for vice chair.
I nominate Emily Haxby for vice chair.
We have a nomination for Gary Lytle. Emily Haxby, any other nominations? Do both of you accept that nomination?
Sure.
Everyone should have a ballot in front of them. It says for vice chair.
You each have your voting ballot in front of you?
They will be read. Right, counselor?
Pass them down when you're done, and okay. Recording secretary will... Now it's the ballots.
Once you vote, fold and pass.
It's yours? Oh, okay.
Do we read each one individually?
Or you just want to tally?
Sir, do you want me just to...
One.
No, I meant lay them out. Okay, so we have one for... So I got to try to do this myself here, Haxby. Okay, we have one for Haxby. One for Lytle. One for Haxby. Haxby. Lytle. Oh, Haxby, I thought, what is this? It's initials, but they're underlined. I couldn't read what it was. So sorry. Haxby and Haxby. So if my tally is right, that's 5 for Haxby, 2 for Mr. Lytle.
Congratulations, Ms. Haxby.
And these will be on file.
Sorry. Thank you, everyone, for the support again. I appreciate it. It's been an interesting few years learning as we've started, but I definitely appreciate everyone's support, and I want to continue to do what I can for the rest of the board.
I just want to make a comment. I believe that Emily went well above her requirements in her work, grants, everything else involved that she's been working on, so I think it's a good fit.
And with this board, whether it's chair or vice chair, everybody does do their part as we're going through things, whether it's working with the grants or Mr. Leiter right now is working through different items with law enforcement and communications between the city and county. I mean, each of the members does their part as the year goes along. So although these are titles for who's going to run a meeting or do some different tasks, all the board members work together here. So that's a great thing being on this board. Some boards aren't like that. I think we have a really unique opportunity here where we all work together well and each take care of what we need to. But with that, on with regular business. The consent agenda, approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held December 27, 2023. Approve all claims through January 10, 2024 in the amount of $627,546.93. Accept claim number 2401007 to Hard Rock Quarry in the amount of $21,527.20. Claim number 2401080 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $95.49. And claim number 2401085 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $37,563.75 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare levy requests. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Approve designation of official county newspapers. Approve designating Gage County's website, www.gagecountynebraska.us, as the official method of providing notice of any meetings or public notices. Approve Don Hill as the NERMA contact person. Approve reappointing Mark Kunke as Gage County Highway Superintendent for 2024. Approve bank depositories as Security First Bank, Adams State Bank, First Bank of Odell, State Bank of Odell, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, First National Bank of Omaha, First Interstate Bank, NIFT, Union Bank and Trust, NPATE, Bank of the West, U.S. Bank, and Western National Bank. Approved pledged securities, Pinnacle Bank, ICS, Security Bank, ICS, approved district court summary fee report, register of deeds fee report for the month of December 2023, approved 2023 annual noxious weed report, and having the chairman sign that report. Approved board meeting change to December 24th instead of 25th due to the Christmas holiday in 24. Approved specs and call for bids on 2 motor grader bids to be opened February 7th, 2024 at 9:15 a.m. Approved specs and call for bids on fuel, bids to be opened February 7th, 2024 at 9:30 a.m. Approved sheriff's distress warrant report for November 23. Approved quote from Blue Valley Public Safety, Inc. in the amount of $30,876.40 for outdoor warning siren to be placed on section 1646. So we'd want to, I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, striking item 14 since we don't have that report, unless there are other items people would like to pull off the consent agenda.
on item 14, should that have been available, or were...
I think it was last year, and I think I just put it on thinking I was going to get it, and I haven't received it yet.
Okay.
The only other one I might pull off, do we want to designate actual newspaper name?
That's what...
Yeah, we just talked about that.
So, lost the newspaper in Wymore. We've really talked the last several years about just designating the Daily Sun as our newspaper. We can still go outside of that, but that's our only local newspaper now. Although we can go outside, we do need to have a designated newspaper. So I don't know if we just want to designate a newspaper and then we can still add to that.
Yes, my question was, do we need to designate one there or just leave it open the way you've got it?
Well, what it does is...
My question would be more for Roger than...
Well, but for me, I will tell you my part, and then Roger can do the legal part. If I have it designated, I have to send the notices to all those that you designate.
Gotcha.
So then we have the publication fees from each one of them. So that's how that is. So, Roger, you give your part.
Yeah, I mean, basically, by law, you have to designate somebody. And in the past, we fluctuated between just one, and then we decided to just do them all, which costs a little extra but also gets additional coverage. When you had the Arbor, you cover the south part of the county as well. So, I think the only other one you might want to consider would be The Voice.
Those are really the three we looked at, Arbor, Voice, and Daily Sun.
That's what we had in the past is those three, right, and until right. Arbor went out.
Arbor's not, I guess, the only other. I know Fairbury is trying to cover some of that, but I can't tell you what their coverage is.
So if we designate the Daily Sun, it still gives you the ability to use The Voice. It just doesn't commit you to doing it every time you have something.
That's correct.
And I think all these publications have web access now, too, Mr. Shuler.
Fairbury Journal News is covering south half of the county, well, Odell, Wymore, and, well, Liberty, Barnston. And I've been told by the editor that their subscriptions are higher rate than what Wymore Arbor State was when they closed.
In this area?
Yes, in Gage County, yes. And they do a good job of covering city council, school board, I'm pleased with what Fairbury Journal News has done.
I guess I'd suggest, Eric, that we designate the Daily Sun and then leave the other two off for this year. I guess this is my thoughts.
Although we didn't approve that last item 7, would that be a motion to approve the consent
7.
Agenda?
Okay.
Do you want to pull 7 and we'll vote on that?
Don't you think we should?
Probably.
Yeah.
We don't always do things in the best order. So I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda, less item 7 and striking item 14.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Swavely, second by Dorn, to approve the consent agenda as presented. Less item 7 and striking item 14. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Back to item 7. I'd ask for a motion to approve designation of official county newspaper.
I move that we designate the Beatrice Daily Sun as the county newspaper.
Second.
Emily, you need a cough drop.
I have a motion by Lytle, second by Haxby, to designate the Daily Sun as our official newspaper. Any discussion on this? And that doesn't lock us to only using them. We can still put out publications and other forms of media.
Eric, I'll just say, several years back we went to where we were using all three because we felt like it gave us coverage of the whole county. I would just say where the Fairbury paper's kind of new into the county and whatever, Don, this gives Don the ability to use those other two for this next year, see how it works, and then maybe, you know, maybe next year we go back to where we have three papers designated, but let's just see how this works.
You know, the other thing we can look at also is if there is something focused more in the southern part or the northern part, we may put additional coverage out in those areas.
We do that, and actually even with Lisa and stuff, we put them in different papers out that pertain to that, the publication notice. So we do some of that already with the outside papers.
I can't say for sure, but just based on what I hear, that the coverage for or the subscription level for the Beatrice Daily Sun in the southern part of the county is not very high, whatever that's worth.
I would say that subscriptions for newspapers in general aren't that high. Just throwing that out there, too.
Changes, we have to have one.
Yeah, that we are statutorily required to have something, but we still put stuff on the website, and we still have some coverage digitally from each of these media sources, too. Any additional discussion on item 7? A motion by Lytle, second by Haxby. Please vote. 6 in favor, with Shuler voting no. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 24010080 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $95.49.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, with Mr. Jerkins abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 24010078 to Hard Rock Quarry in the amount of $21,527.20. And claim number 24010085 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $37,563.75. This would bring the total amount of claims paid through today at $686,733.37. These are companies I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, with Team and abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items for items not on the agenda today. This would be the time if anyone would like to come up and say anything. Please give your name and address for the record, sir, and good morning.
My name is Steve Krause, and I live at 659 Scout Ridge Circle in Adams.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I understand there can't be a whole lot of back and forth, but can I hand out pictures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And at public comment, we can't go back and forth with you, but we can listen to what you're presenting to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. You bet.
Thank you.
What this is a picture of our farmstead. We own both sides of the road. This is Cedar Road, about a quarter of a mile from the Johnson County line. And we have had trouble over the years with people driving through at an extremely high rate of speed right next to where we're working. Just last week, there was two semis and a one-ton pickup pulling a trailer with what looked like cattle fence on them. They rolled through here at about, I'm guessing, 40 miles an hour. And we were working right off the road. I don't know what can be done. We'd like to have speed limit signs put up. I don't know what the process is for that. I've called the highway department and was told there needs to be a traffic study done. I don't know what the requirements are for that. I know there's a cost associated with it, though. I guess I'm not quite sure what the next step is, what can be done. So, just here to voice a concern. I've about been run over several times over the years. So it's a problem for us.
We can't talk back and forth on this, but we can consider this for future action. Mark does have your phone number, so we'll take this into consideration.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We don't mean to be rude in public comment. We really can't talk back and forth. It's just for bringing things up.
I understand there's rules.
Anyone else, would you like to come up for public comment? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My name is Steve Kenoki, and I reside at 28827 South 176th Road in Virginia. Mr. Chairman and County Supervisors, thank you for allowing me to speak here today. As you might imagine, I come to visit once again concerning the need to hard surface the remaining 3 miles of the Virginia Liberty Road that is by name South 162nd Road. It's my understanding that Highway 4 that runs from Highway 136 to Lewiston is scheduled for resurfacing in the near future. I don't know if there's still time to consider this project while construction crews are in the area or not, but I didn't think it would hurt to ask. Summer seems like a long way off, but there are sure to be other road projects over the summer as well. We ask that you give this some thought and look for ways to address the need to finish the remaining 3 miles of a project that has been on your radar for a long, long time. One other point I'd like to bring up. Rick Claybaugh and I have been to several meetings of the Virginia Town Board to point out grant opportunities that are available from various governmental agencies. These grants would provide funding for various improvements within the village, including road improvements. The Board of Supervisors is fortunate to have a skilled grant writer in Emily Haxby sitting on the board. As I listen to the radio and hear the success of her efforts on behalf of the county, the obvious thought that comes to mind is the grant opportunities that must be out there that would help us get South 176th Road or 162nd Road hard surfaced. I would ask that the Board of Supervisors consider pursuing grant opportunities for this project that would help relieve taxpayer burden. I come from the world of business and understand how important it is to balance a budget. You are a resourceful group of people with many tools at your disposal. The people of our area would be extremely grateful if you would work together to come up with a creative plan to hard surface the 3 miles left on South 162nd Road, a project that's been on your planning sheets for many, many years. Thanks for letting me speak here today.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak at public comment? If not, we will move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
David's in here warming up from the cold this morning, so we'll let him talk, okay? So,
Dave, thank you for all your efforts keeping the sidewalks open and keeping the ice off for us.
I am glad we have a warm day coming today. We're going to try and stay after it and get ready for,
wider,
the, big,
right?
for the big freeze, yeah. So, while we're talking about that, I did... we are going to have some snow piles removed also. I'm afraid after today, they're going to turn into a problem, so we're going to get those out of here today. Things we're working on, the counters out at the extension office were delivered. Adam and I helped them bring them in there, so they do have the counter set. They are going, right now they just have a plywood top, but they're going to get a hard surface countertop put on them. Noakes installed a heat pump on the south side as that went out a couple weeks ago. And district court clerk's office, they are getting new desks the middle of February. So Adam and I are working on, we're going to install two short walls, one with the door and a front counter in there. So that's our next project. We're going to start working on that. One thing that did happen, we were closed Monday because of the snow. I came over at 6 o'clock in the evening and found out that somebody had broken the glass out of the south door. Ooh. And so I closed it up with plywood, and then I did look at the security cameras, and there was a guy that was upset, I guess, that we were closed, and he pounded on the glass with his fist, and then he turned around and gave it a big donkey kick and broke the glass out. So I called the police that night, but then I did mainly Sergeant Davidson is investigating it, and he thinks that he does know the person that did this, so they're working on that now. And last thing would be Cassandra from Gage County Historical Society Museum is going to come here and change out the display in the hallway. I always appreciate the museum doing this. It's always good to see when people come in here to look at the local history that we have in here. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
Thanks,
for building
Dave.
Grounds? Equalization, we just had an equalization meeting. We'll stay attuned to see where valuations go, but nothing really new. Finance and insurance, I can say the same. We are preparing for next year's budget already, so that'll keep coming down the pike. We will try to get some bids out, hopefully, where we can get them done on this year's fiscal year, which ends June 30th. That's the goal right now. But other than that, really nothing there either. Veteran Service, Scott.
Forgot Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Terry.
Well,
I didn't mean to leave you high and dry. I'm sorry.
He's got to do his big ticket items.
I have some important stuff here today, too. Large ticket items. Spectrometry International Corporation flyover imagery, $42,039.46. Region 5 Systems, EPC billing quarterly funding, $14,276.50. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $43,274.01. Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, Rock and Dirt, $21,527.20. RLT Construction Incorporated hauling material $37,563.75. I'm not done.
Oh.
I have a little book here.
Uh-oh.
That was a statistic report for 6364 for Gage County, Nebraska. I've just pulled some facts I just want to bring up. It's nonsense, but I'm going to say it anyway. I see that we have one person here that I see is grossly overpaid. The sheriff, back in 1964, made $5,400. As well did the clerk, the treasurer, the county supervisor,
assessor.
Superintendent.
No, superintendent, the assessor, and the jailer made $549. The road fund was $225,000, and the bridge fund was $178,000. Last but not least, this is what I like the best. We had, back in those days, a poll tax. That was for all male inhabitants of the city Beatrice between the ages of 21 and 50. And they're liable for the amount of $3. The exemptions were United States pensioners, active members of the Nebraska National Guard, and the third one, which a lot of people qualify for nowadays, lunatics, idiots, and paupers.
That's good. That's great.
You might just have to keep giving us little tidbits out of that.
It's interesting. The wages and the dollar. I think rock and gravel was a dollar a cubic yard. $1.10.
When you think about it, that's not that long ago.
No, it is.
60 years.
60 years, years, yeah.
I don't know how to follow that, but my comment was just my kids were sick, which is why I missed the last meeting. But we had made our first payment for the ARPA. That means they're a quarter of the way done. So there's a lot of people online, and we're a quarter of the way from completing that project. So it's an exciting moment.
Do you have a rough number? That project just keeps growing. Do you have any idea where?
I think we're over 1,000 right now.
Over 1,000, but I mean, as far as what that's going to encompass all together. Now, we started out at approximately a $9 million project, I think. We contributed 4, they contributed 5. It was going to be 9 to 11. Then we heard $13 million, and it seems like that project keeps growing.
I think it's past that by a few more million, but nothing set in stone yet.
That was a good leverage of money there. I mean, just there was a lot of things you could use that ARPA money for, but I think you all did a very good job trying to figure out how to leverage that, and that was led by you, Ms. Axby, so we thank you for that. Got a lot of service to people that wouldn't have had it. Hopefully it continues that way.
We're hoping to see a lot more. There's a lot more BEAD funding available, so I'd like to see us pursuing trying to get everyone hooked up to fiber by the time we're all done.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bates. Sorry I preemptively got you coming.
Morning. We had our Veterans Service Committee meeting on December 7th. We had no NVAs to report. I'm working on 2 right now, and I just sent one up, 2 for funerals, and I sent one up for the mortgage payment for one of our individuals. We had 4 county veteran aid claims, 2 for the Board of Public Works, 1 for $315 and 1 and 48 cents, and another for $323 and 85 cents. And we had 1 to Farmers Co-op for a car repair for $44 and 14 cents. And we had 1 for the Capri Inn and Suite for $86 and 84 cents. For a total of $770.35, with our county veteran aid account balances at $5,754.74. We did report 14 deceased veterans from October 3rd through December 7th in the county. We're working on our Gage County Government Day. It's set for February 13th. That'll be the juniors from hopefully. I haven't heard back from any of my Legion clubs that go out to the schools and solicit to see how many kids we're going to get. So I haven't gotten a number on how many students yet. So we're still working on that. And hopefully Mr. Tiemann will be our guest speaker for that day. Working on that.
That's on the 13th?
Yep. My new assistant, Rhonda, she applied for a PIF card, and she got that. So that's moving along. She signed up for her accreditation basic course with the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers on January 22nd to the January 26th. And she'll do that here at her desk. We'll move her desk into a separate room so she isn't disturbed during the course. It's pretty intense, so hopefully she'll have enough quiet time in the back there. Dave and I have been talking about getting her moved back there for that time, and then they'll move her back up front afterwards. And I will have VFW training for county veteran service officers on February 1st in Lincoln. And pending any of your questions, that's my report for this month.
Any veteran honors you've received from the public lately?
I haven't. I keep asking for them, and I'm not getting any. I had a couple that I thought would be good candidates, but they they didn't think that they were deserving. And
that's not uncommon. Our veterans a lot of times don't think they should be honored. So if anyone in the public or on the board knows a veteran that they would like to put up, please get a hold of Scott. And we do want to give honor to those veterans. We're losing them by the year. But that's not an uncommon statement. I'm not deserving of this, and they definitely are.
Right, exactly. And I'm trying to explain that to them and trying to break the ice with some of the Gulf War veterans and stuff from the 90s, early 90s, the first Gulf War. And I do got a couple of Vietnam veterans out there yet that haven't been recognized that should be, and some Korean veterans out there yet too. I think our World War II veterans, I think they've all been recognized, the ones that are still with us.
We've seen some guys that are just hard as iron come in, and they're definitely touched by that.
Yeah.
And that's neat to see, and it's neat to hear the stories that they give us, even though they're little tidbits. It's definitely appreciated.
Yep. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Scott. Human Resources, Employee Relations, we've visited a little bit last week. I think everything seems to be semi-smooth there right now. Road and Bridge. We're going to skip ahead just for a second. Miss Haxby needs to make it to a funeral, so I almost forgot.
I was going to start throwing something at you pretty quick here. So we talked about bidding. We got two motor graders we're bidding for. We're going to put out bids for putting out bids for motor graders and fuel. We have our township meeting coming up on February 8th. There's going to be some discussion about maybe consolidating equipment, something that they're going to talk about at that time. As everybody obviously can see, it snowed. We're going to get some more, so that's fun. I know the highway guys have been trying to keep up, but they go through all the roads, and by the time they come back, they're already drifting shut again. So it's just a tough one to keep up on. We have, on the grant side of it, working on the RAISE grant yet. That one is a very long process. There is a survey out there that if anybody reaches out to, I'll make sure that we get it sent out again so everybody has a current link, but we have the link for the survey online. What that does is helps me gather the data on what kinds of vehicles travel those roads, how many miles extra that people have to travel if they have to avoid that road, and it helps me pull that all in. This all is due at the end of February. However, it's going to take me at least a solid month to get it all together. I have written, I want to say 25 pages so far, and I'm still not done, and I have to get all this kind of information stuff into graphs, and so And to get that data, I need people to take these surveys. So I'll make sure everybody has that link. Another part of that is that we have to do virtual. So for the people that can't get out and go to these meetings that we've hosted so far, or maybe they didn't know, I have two of them. One on January 16th at 6:30 and one on January 25th at 6:30. I will also make sure that everyone on our board and the clerk has those Zoom links so that if anybody wants to virtually attend the meeting and learn about the project or has any input, that is available to them.
Ms. Haxby, the Township Association meeting will also be
The Township Association meeting will also be an outreach session as well at the very beginning. So if public wants to attend, we'll kind of talk about those grants, get the input from the public as well. And then if they want to stay for the rest of the township meeting, they can. If they want to take off, they can as well. And that's at the Legion.
Time would that be?
The Legion, I think the township's at 7?
February 8th at
6 or
7. 6. We'll nail that down by the next meeting.
Stop at Legion, have supper.
Yeah. And? So, and then one of the things we're working on, again, and Mark's working on this, is kind of getting those right-of-ways cleaned up prior to those submissions so that we're ahead of that. So any support or information that people can give on those surveys is much appreciated and, quite frankly, required. So,
Mr. Shuler.
I'd like to request that the Virginia Road be put into that survey so we can gather the needs for it as well and efforts to try to gain a grant for that road, 162nd?
This survey is already added in for this. Specifically, this survey is for...
The two grants that are open currently.
So we can't do that on 162nd Road, but I think the point's taken. That one needs to, which we are already, but we need to continue to look for grants on that, as Mr. Kanoki said earlier. A good opportunity there, and there are some roads that we try to find a place for. One of the killers on 162nd is they look at usage, and we've talked about, you know, you and I have talked even, how can we look at this in a different way even? The grants don't look at it in a different way. They look at it as usage and where to delegate the money. So there's got to be something out there. It's just finding there's grants for bike trails. There's grants for parks. It's trying to find that right grant for that project.
I was just going to say, you touched on it. This one was a lot about connecting connecting jobs, intermodal, like freight traffic. And so both of these connect industry. And that's why these fit in this application. We're also talking about 400 to 600 average daily traffic counts on these roads. So
there's other items we tried to put in these that didn't fit also. 162nd would be one of them because that got brought up. There's some other roads we'd like to pave that don't fit into these. If you put something in and it doesn't fit, you can throw the whole, you know, whole apple off the cart. So you have to be semi-careful.
Well, just for future that we could do this, go do the same process for the Virginia Road as we're doing for this, for to be prepared.
And these are required for these grants. So, I mean, each of the applications has different requirements. Miss Haxby has been going about, like, we'll say Hickory Road, through the grant application route. I'm trying to back up route through pushing industry in and making them pay for things. So, I mean, we have to hit it from multiple angles. There's never a one-size-fits-all. We'll keep throwing. Unfortunately, with grants, there's a lot of dart throwing, and you just keep trying to hit that bullseye.
And I appreciate the comment, the grant writer comment. I am by far from that. I'm a farmer by trade. And so, like, these, when we write these things, it's a whole different level of things that they want included. And so I have to reach out to different agencies and try to pull it all together. When my kids were sick for, like, 2 weeks, I spent the whole 2 weeks on my computer, and we're still not close to done. So it's a very, very long process.
I will make the comment. Mark Shane Rock made the comment at NACO. They paid a grant writer. I don't even know what it was, a company. It wasn't an individual. $70,000 to put stuff together for one of the same grants that we applied for. They also were not successful. Thank you, Ms. Haxby. We do appreciate your donated time.
Yes.
These will add up over time, though, and as we get these in and they do come to fruition, it's just not an overnight type deal. Mr. Juergens.
I guess the elephant in the room is the weather and roads.
Those roads, Juergens?
We've got some issues, wet, snow. Anyway, I just would like to caution everyone to be careful where they travel, because we're going to have cold weather, too. The roads are drifting a little bit, and with the supposed weather we got coming, it could be an issue. So just be careful.
I saw the Public Schools put out a comment that they had talked to a highway superintendent in emergency management. They decided to start school 2 hours late today. Our roads are in good shape as far as being cleared and stuff, but there is a lot of blowing snow. As always, they are not hard surface, and the ones that are may be slick. Use caution. Drive accordingly to what the weather allows. With that survey, just a quick other plug on there. If anyone would like to get on and do that survey for those two grants, I know that that's on the Engage website. Dakota, do you know if that's on the Chamber website? It's on the Engage website, though, so that's an easy one to search and also take that survey on. Anything else for Road and Bridge? I see Jared Reimer's here. I'd invite him to come up now and give us an update from...
What about law enforcement?
Oh, Jared, I'm sorry. I'm really messing up here.
Why don't you let Jared go since you call him up, and then we'll do ours later.
Well, no, we might as well get law enforcement while we're in committee meetings. Skip over one, and I don't know what to do. Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything today?
I'm at the end of the
Okay. So don't look like we got anything.
I got
You knew this was going to happen.
Funny today, huh?
Yeah. Good morning. Your tire is full, but I know now after hearing him today. So, well, good morning. Just a couple things. Today is the first official day that Deputy Hager is starting as a SRD for the schools. And, of course, we're 2 hours late start, so trying to figure out the schedule on that. So we'll have our first meeting tonight in Diller for Diller O'Dell with that school board. We couldn't get to Adams because they got snowed out. So we'll keep making our rounds on those things. I handed out for the meeting started. You have the just activity report from like December 8th through 21. Only thing on there I just point out to you is I was noticing was kind of interesting is on the interagency activity. Now with we had 244 calls in Wymore, and that's not counting the 202 that the new chief has. So that community is pretty active on things that he got going on down there. So he's got, I think, one person he said he's looking at interviewing and trying to get hired, just like us, where we're short, too, and trying to find people. But I didn't know if the board has an interest in meeting him. I'd have him come in on some morning on my committee or something to meet you guys if you want.
Wouldn't hurt.
Just so you know, I put a face to the name that way. He's doing a good job. So it's just one person trying to do it all. But outside of that, I have one more thing for closed session at the end of the day. So that's it.
Yes. How many calls did the police department itself have?
They had 202, and we had 244. Mr. That would be it from August to the first of the year.
Mr. Juergens.
Just a real quick question. Do you think you're worth the extra pay you're getting now from 1963?
God, you were pushing a limit today, aren't you? More than, I will tell you, it was probably a lot better times back then. I will tell you that for $5,000.
Probably wouldn't have been as much stuff going on.
Oh, not even close.
You didn't have 400 calls coming out of Wymore.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
All right.
Now we're done.
All right. Mr. Rivers, if you'd come up and give your update for Adrian Smith, and I apologize.
No worries. As always, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Jared Reimers. I'm Congressman Smith's district coordinator. In the past, I would say I was based out of the Grand Island office, but now I'm based out of his almost completely open Nebraska City office, which is something that he added as part of the expansion of the district that the unicameral directed when he took over 80 of the 93 counties in the state at the beginning of this session. So now the congressman has all border counties in Nebraska with the exception of Douglas and Sarkey. Basically, he is the representative in the House of Representatives for every community in Nebraska except for the Omaha area, with the exception of Blair, Norfolk, Fremont, Columbus, and Lincoln. In that role, he serves as the chairman for the Trade Subcommittee within the Ways and Means Committee on in the House of Representatives. What that means for Nebraska is that Nebraska issues are a primary focus for the Trade Subcommittee as a matter of protocol. When it comes to trade negotiations and trade-related issues that come up within the Ways and Means Committee. It's one of the main reasons that he's been one of the lead members in negotiations with Japan and Great Britain concerning new trade relationships with those countries, and why he's been one of the primary members pushing Mexico concerning their corn concerns and Canada concerning their protests over American dairy products as it relates to the most recent trade agreement we had with Canada. As far as other legislative items are concerned, the congressman is at the beginning of the second session of the 118th Congress, so they are technically just beginning the process of legislation for the current session of Congress. But a number of items that he continues to push that would have been still active at the end of the last session include a bill that would, the simplest way to explain it, be a federal version of school choice. And I say it that way and say it rather cautiously that way because it's not a literal school choice bill like what Nebraska has in place at this time, but instead it's a way that the House and Senate would push D.C. to be less involved in the day-to-day decision-making of local school districts and encourage parents and school districts and local leadership to take over more of those roles. In addition to that, he continues to push the IRS to identify ways to fix their operational issues that don't include expanding their auditing agents' numbers and instead actually require them to focus on increasing the number of customer service agents they have and doing something like actually finishing the processing of annual tax bills from residents in a timely manner, which is not something they've been able to accomplish for a number of decades at this point. Lastly, I would conclude by pointing out that the role of district offices in the House of Representatives is to provide what's called constituent services. Constituent services are a number of things, but the main issue that we provide support for is assistance with navigating federal red tape. Typically, what that looks like in Congressman Smith's office is assistance with expediting passports, assistance with getting the IRS to actually respond and navigate any tax-related issues you may have. And finally, and I'll bring this up mostly because it's been a topic of conversation quite a bit today, working with federal agencies on grant issues. And providing letters of interest from the congressman as well as working to help do federal research as is appropriate with regard to grants that federal agencies may have. That's the comments I have today. I'm happy to take any comments or questions, and I know you have other agenda items.
Mr. Reimers.
I see you've got the gold book again.
Back in 1964, who was the representative from the 3rd District?
It was not Adrian Smith.
Dave Martin.
Okay.
One other fact. At that same time, in the Senate, 35 seats were Republican, 65 were Democrat. I'm done.
All right. Appreciate the facts.
Speaking of grants, we also are a candidate for Adrian Smith's earmark grant. I believe we've moved from committee on, but the last we had heard, that was a roads project. I believe it's Christ Lutheran and the Odell Road also. I don't know if you've heard anything on that or...
Appropriations bills that the earmarking projects are attached to are still part of the number of appropriations bills that have yet to be fully passed by Congress. So they, depending upon what committee they're tied to, they're attached to either the funding deadline in January or the funding deadline that's coming up in February. But they are still technically in the legislative process. They haven't been passed, but they also haven't been rejected at this time.
That one, just for the board's knowledge, and I think we already all know it, but for the public also, as it went through committee, it went from an 80% funding, 20% county, 80% fed. Mm-hmm. It went through as a recommendation to be 100% fed. So that could be a really nice addition for our budget here if that does go through. That's what we were told, is there was the hang-up in Congress. That got held up as well. But
yeah.
If you'd leave a card for us again, I know you've left them before. Sen's going to be sending some of us out there in March to come graciously lobby your office And so I think we'll be in D.C. in early March again.
Okay.
But we'll definitely stop in and say hello. Whether you're there or not, we'll stop in and tell the congressman hello.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you very much.
With that, we'll take a five-minute recess at 9:41. We'll reconvene a little after 9:45. Yeah. We'll call the meeting back to order at 9:53 on the clock. Up next, approve or disapprove Visitor Improvements Fund grant for the Barnston Community Center in the amount of $23,000 for a men's, women's restroom, and storage room. Good morning, Dakota.
Good morning.
Good morning, Betsy. If you guys would give your... Oh, thank you.
Yep, I have Betsy Ferg here with me from the Barnston Community Center. I am Dakota Hurley with Gage County Tourism. Betsy's going to go ahead and hand out her stuff, and then I'll let her introduce herself.
Thanks, Betsy.
Kind of a lot. I need to have all the information that I've worked hard on.
Thank you.
I just have to use here. I know grants is not fun.
No. Thank you.
I don't need one if you so you got enough.
I maybe one or two extras if somebody else wants one.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So in front of you.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Betsy Ferks. Do you see where I live? I live at 33546 South 108th Road, out east of Holmesville, and I am on the board for the Barnston Community Center in Barnston, Nebraska. There's four of us on the board, and I've come today to represent the board and ask for some grant money to build new bathrooms. Currently, the gym was built in 1952, and currently the bathrooms downstairs are very dungeon-esque. They're concrete stairs down to the original bathrooms, a men's and a women's, and the men's currently actually doesn't even work. It's not open and functioning. We've just had a lot of struggles with sewer issues and freezing pipes in the old building. There's no heat downstairs unless we turn on space heaters to keep the pipes from freezing, which is what we'll go do tomorrow. So what we would really like to do is I have a bid here for a little over $100,000, and I have two designs that are not written in stone to add an addition outside of the community center to add on bathrooms. There would be a breezeway you could walk into with a sink and a little storage area, and then into a men's and a women's restroom that would each have two stalls, and they would be handicap accessible, and everything would be up to code. Currently, the bathrooms are a danger. They're unsafe to anyone who goes down there. We had...
Not ADA compliant?
Yes. The building is still used quite a bit, but the last year and a half, we have seen a decline in use just because people don't want to have to use those bathrooms downstairs. Older people, younger people, anybody. I fell down the stairs I slipped with my muck boots because we had pipes freeze, and we were all down there trying to fix them. And it's just a hazard, an accident in the making. So the building is used a lot, and I really do think in the board thinks that if we could get new bathrooms that go out the north side of the building, that it would be used even more. We have lots of events in there. We do lots of fundraisers, tournaments, volleyball, basketball, all ages, anywhere from kindergartners all the way up through adults play in there. We do tournaments. We do leagues. When the bathrooms are down, when we are having plumbing issues, which is quite often the last year and a half, we have to rent porta-potties. And that is also another fee that when people do want to rent the building, and if it does come up that there's an issue with the bathrooms and we tell them, well, hey, we got to get porta potties, then it's automatic, well, we're not going to use your building. So it's a money issue. It's a pain in the butt. So we would really like to see the building continue to stay open. We run off of donations only. We do rent the building, which basically we just call a donation. It's a couple hundred dollars to rent the building for a day or two. And basically that just covers electricity and propane in the winter just to keep the building open and running. Bill Peterson took care of the building for probably 20, 25 years before he passed away. And about a year before he passed away, he asked a few of us that are on the board to be on it just because our kids use the building so much. So we kind of kept track of it, of just money coming in and out wise. And then he took care of the building. He took care of all the plumbing issues, groundskeeping outside and everything. It is an awesome old historic building. We've done a lot of work already. We have painted, we have updated the inside. The roof was redone. The floor has been redone. We've gotten some small grants for other things like a sound speaker system, new kitchen equipment. The kitchen's actually been remodeled upstairs. So these bathrooms are just a necessity for this building to stay open, we feel like. And we would really like to see this grant given to the Barnston Community Center. If it is given, if you guys do approve it, we will be at about $50,000, so about half the money. So then I will, if you say yes, and, well, I don't know how to say that. If you say yes to this, then I'm going to ask the Thomas Sisters in Wymore, their foundation, for the other $50,000. So they like to have, like you to have half the money, so I'm hoping if I get there, then they'll hopefully give us the other half. And then we can move forward. I have talked to the head of our project, and if we get this grant right now, we will go ahead and start in March, and we will start with the foundation, finish the sewer, finish all the plumbing, and put the building or put the addition up. And then when I get the rest of the money, then we will finish the inside and finish it off.
Mr. Lytle.
Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say we have about $411,000 in the visitor improvements fund. This is, I don't know if you guys have been there, but this really is a treasure there in Barnston. I mean, between, I guess my experience has been like basketball for the kids or grown-up volleyball. It's really a great piece there in Barnston. I mean, if you don't know it's there, you don't know it's there. The more people we can get there, the more it'll get used. And I would definitely encourage it.
I wasn't at the meeting for the visitors improvements for this discussion, but I will say that I think we need to approve this because just what Betsy said, they're leveraging our money to do a $100,000 project with $23,000 out of a budget for something that we are begging people to come take the money and use it for improvements. This just makes complete sense. So.
Mr. Jurgens.
I'm 120% behind this.
That's a lot.
I was there approximately a year ago and played pitch tournament. Of course,
upstairs?
I drank too much beer, and I had to go down to that bathroom more than once. So, 120%.
Glad you weren't outside.
Well, obviously, I'm very much in support of this, and I'm very pleased, Betsy, that you present this to the board and you are doing what you're doing and the other board members. I'm excited for the community center to have a group of people and young people to take the bull by the horns and do what needs to be done to keep that community center active and viable for the community. And as a young adult, I played volleyball there, had gatherings with friends, and we all brought something to eat and a little bit to drink. And and I hear that it's just and know that it's a good asset to the community.
Mr.
Swavely.
I think it's great. I only have one question. Okay, when you said about build a new building and the sewer and everything else, is that included in this quote?
No. So currently we are using $5,000 to $6,000 in our small budget that we have right now. I have about $12,000 in our checking account to pay for new sewer lines are going to get put in from the city, the village's main line up to the building. So that way we can at least keep one bathroom running downstairs. So then once this starts, then we'll tap into that and then add the addition on.
Just a question, that's all.
And abandon the old bathrooms, just use them for
storage?
Yes.
And honestly, I mean, the downstairs, if you've been down there, there's the bathrooms, then there's the old locker rooms, the old showers. It's actually, the downstairs is kind of neat too. We need to go down there and clean it up. But half of it is a weight room that Bill Peterson, his boy Lucas, and a few other community members actually use. So what I want to do, or what the board has decided, if we do get the new addition built, we would like to close off the basement, not close it off, but make it so, more so like kids can't go down there and play. Because it's just waiting for someone to fall down the stairs, get hurt, break an arm, break a leg. We would keep, there's two accesses down there, so we'd probably keep one open for people that do want to use it as their weight room or a little workout room that's down there. And we will have to keep it a little open to go down there. But otherwise, we would not use them at all.
I support this, but tell Ben Reed to lower his bid because he doesn't need that much.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I did tell him, I'm like, Ben, I'm like, just bid it, you know, give me a little higher bid just in case we run into some issues because it is an old building. Like the design that he gave me, those aren't set in stone, so not really for sure 100% how we're going to do it, but I'm hoping get half of it and then maybe March 1st go with it and get it going.
I'll echo Mr. Schuler, too. people don't get involved anymore. People don't volunteer like they used to. So thank you for keeping stuff like this alive. And we do keep losing people like Bill Peterson that both time and money invested into things. And
we miss him a lot because he took care of, we were there probably about 2 years before, a year and a half, 2 years before he passed away. And he took care of everything. We basically just handed money back and forth, like took the donations for rent or this and made sure people were using the building. And like tomorrow, our kindergarten and first graders have basketball practice in there tomorrow night. Next week, there's third and fourth graders. Men's basketball league starts, I think, the third week in January. And then there'll be a volleyball league starting February 1st. There's a lot that goes on. And like Eric said, there's not a whole lot left in Barnston, and the community building is, it's a pretty awesome building. Our next project would be to redo the inside of the ceiling and insulate it. So then that way it'll be even nicer and maybe be a little warmer in there, especially in the winter months. Like we do have pitch tournaments down there. It is chilly. We had one New Year's Eve, and a few people even brought blankets because even though we got the heaters on, it is still a little chilly in there.
If you have any other need for funds as far as this project, if the Thomas Foundation comes up a little short, Gage County Foundation would also be an opportunity. So
that was my hope, was to apply to the Thomas Sisters, and then I was going to also apply to Gage County Foundation come, I think, is it March? It's either March or April or something like that.
When you got your number, shoot it in to Ms. Clark.
Yes, we'd like some bathrooms. Absolutely. And then maybe a little electrical update and then the ceiling, and I feel like the building would be set to go. And we do another thing. We have Barnston Days now. Jody Wagner started Barnston Days up 2 years ago. And, I mean, it's a pretty big party for a whole weekend. So it's a lot of fun.
So with that, I'd like to add, obviously, it doesn't sound like I need to twist anybody's arm on this project here. But the Tourism Advisory Committee that has recommended this grant to you guys, part of their reasoning for recommending this is the vibrancy that Barnston has brought back with Barnston Days. Part of the trail that runs right by there, they have a great trailhead right along the highway there by Barnston. So there's a lot of vibrancy coming back to Barnston, and they fully support and feel like this project would help bring that even further.
What's that, the bike riders, what are they called?
Well, it's just
bike riders.
It's a stand-in bear trail.
Homestead Running Club. But
there's that, and then there's a bike riders.
I can't remember, but
Homestead Trail.
Yeah.
You can tell none of us know the groups by the way we look, but the runners and the bike riders, they've been updating that trailhead too, bringing in rock, grading things out. You see out-of-state cars down there. I'm down in Barnston quite a bit, and I always look over to see who's over there, if there is a car. But that's a great trailhead, nice bathroom on Standing Bear there south of the co-op.
Also a new Airbnb in that area-ish, kind of closer to Don Schuler there. But it's a little cabin along that trail. So having that along the trail also brings their Airbnb does collect lodging tax now, which obviously is what pays into part of this funding.
It's called the Corny Cabin.
Corny Cabin.
You can Google it. Corny
Mark
Cabin
son,
Airbnb.
I was
going to
say, who owns that? I didn't hear about that.
Mark
is that on
son.
Your ground?
Eric Engler.
Oh. Really?
Eric. Yeah, it's on my ground.
I remember when Barnston had a big picnic.
Well, they do again.
Yes. The second week in July.
Everything?
Full weekend. Yep. Live bands, entertainment, a kids' night in the park.
They did fireworks this last year.
Yep.
I wasn't able to attend this year because my daughter had softball all weekend, but I heard it was a good time.
Mr. Lytle?
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any further discussion? I'd like to let the sheriff know this is how this is done when you're asking for money. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you all very, very much. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Well, the sheriff does tell us how hard it is to get money. This doesn't seem that hard.
it's
taken a few months to get here, though.
Yes, a lot of typing.
Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you all. Thank you.
I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you all so much.
Take care. Dakota, I guess you can stay up there and give us our quarterly report for tourism.
Yes.
Thank you.
I kind of added this as the last line on here, but since Mr. Lytle brought this up, and we just got done talking visitor improvement funds, We do have two other grant applications or intents to apply in the process for this. So I hopefully will be back soon with more grants on this from two different organizations. And then I do know of another organization who plans to apply. They just have not yet. So we've been busy. We're getting on that, trying to get people to apply for this funding, and it seems to be working. We're getting places, and the most recent one came and asked for a little bit of money, and we actually asked them to come back and ask for a little more to go back. We thought their project could be a little bigger than what they were working on and reach further outside of the county, which, of course, that's what we're wanting. So we're waiting to get stuff back on that. Anyway, starting with advertisements, our holiday lighted parade advertisement on social media, Blitz reached over 100,000 people with over 2,800 direct link clicks back to our website. So that means people were generally interested in what they were seeing and wanted to know more. Of course, we just got done hosting the 9th annual Holiday Lighted Parade. We had celebrity guest judge John Vanderford from 1011, which got Eric out of his duties of judging, so he didn't complain there. That also included a short clip that aired on Pier, Nebraska, highlighting the parade. We actually didn't ask Vanderford's to do that. They just did that on their own. We did not have to pay for any of that, so that was kind of free advertising. He showed a little bit of the parade, what was going on in Charles Park, and it was kind of just a nice little highlight on the parade that cost us nothing. Currently, I'm partaking in Leadership Beatrice Class 18, so we've had a retreat to choose our class project, presented that class project to the advisory committee. Hopefully, that will be another Visitor Improvement Fund request as we work on that project. I've had Business and Industry Day, along with Art, Media, and Culture Day, attending CENTEC meetings, so Southeast Nebraska Tourism. We are working or getting closer to the February, the Nebraska State Tourism Conference, and that's going to be held in Lincoln this year. So that's in February coming up. I've been working with the Chamber and Main Street to coordinate designation for EDA tourism grant funds. That is only to be used on advertising for events. We did not choose to do any new events, but we are choosing to broaden our advertising outside of the county to hopefully bring people into those events that we currently do have. Ribbon cuttings, I've been to the McCandless Park ribbon cutting in Weimar, and then we've done Happy Colonel and Kayla's downtown. We've met with a local photographer, so Engage Chamber and Tourism are working together to have Gage County attraction photography within the Carnegie Building. One, to kind of give a stronger visitor center presence to the Carnegie Building, as that is technically the visitor center for Visit Gage County. So he is working to pull some things together. We've kind of highlighted somewhere in each town, hopefully within Gage County, and we're hoping to have that kind of up within the next month or so. We have formed a branding committee with local tourism partners, so we're trying to better develop the tourism brand for Gage County. This includes a tagline, mission statement, goals, values, etc., kind of just really honing in on what does Gage County tourism look like, and consistent branding as I'm doing advertising. I have been the lead chamber representative for the Young Professionals Gage County Group. We have scheduled out professional development and networking events through August. I work with Megan from Engage, and we kind of work together to develop these. We did have to postpone our latest one because it was scheduled for Monday. So we'll reschedule that and keep working on those. Right now we're planning and organizing the chamber annual banquet and getting ready to really dive in on Homestead 2024, Homestead Days 2024 plans. With the EDA tourism grant, we're hoping to really broaden our advertising efforts on that with billboards and such outside of the county. And then, like I said, we have some more Visitor Improvement Fund grant apps or intents to apply that are in process. And so hopefully I'll be back soon with those. Questions, comments?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I move to place the Visitors Committee's quarterly tourism report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Please vote. Six in favor with Ms. Haxby being gone, and I'll correct the record. Thank you, Dakota. I'll correct the record. The Visitor Improvement Fund grant was approved 6-0, not 7-0, as Ms. Haxby is gone. Up next, approve or disapprove MOU between the Nebraska Department of Veteran Affairs and Gage County for Vetrospect Program for a 2-year agreement. Mr. Bates, you want to go over that for us?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dorn.
Second by Dorn.
All right. The Vetrospect, that's the system that we use for putting in claims for our veterans. The state uses it throughout the state with all the counties. Yeah, I do have it budgeted in my budget. But it's just, I know earlier we talked about Tyler Veteran, the TVB, and Vetrospect switching back and forth, and the state decided to go back to Vetrospect. They're both owned by Tyler. They did go up on their prices. Last year we paid $449 per subscription, so it was $898. This next year, it's going to be $918 for two of us, and then in 2025, it's going to be $396 for the two of us. So it keeps going up, but this is the program that the state uses. It's secure. It's HIPAA, all that stuff. So I guess we've been using it in the past. When I don't know why we want to change it or anything.
Any questions from the board? Discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Approve or disapprove resolution adopting Gage County Local Emergency Operations Plan, the LEOP. This is a 1-year agreement now that's updated online in lieu of a 5-year agreement previously. I'm sure all of you have studied the LEOP over the last
one
week.
One person that has, yeah. So two, actually, but anyway. But, yeah, what's changed, as we mentioned before, this is your second year of approving a 1-year agreement. So it really does force us to update as needed. This year is mostly about contacts, you know, outside of that. So this particular, you as a county are vested to approve it as a county entity, but just realize that all the villages and the city of Beatrice and the city of Wymore, they all are part of this. And so obviously if a disaster comes up, these books are placed with the rural fire departments, village boards, and so forth. And so, yes, for your approval. So, and when you do it by resolution, we file it online, and that's the process now. So,
move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion on this?
I think this is the signature page that each one of you will sign. We'll file that, if approved, then online through Bold Planning, which is now Nebraska's way of doing things for this.
And this would
plan.
Be Resolution 24-01. Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Really feel bad. All the effort and work that you put into that, and within 2 minutes, we're approving
it's okay.
It.
Okay.
Hey, you know what?
I don't care.
Don't forget, each of you need to sign this.
I was having trouble sleeping with my knee.
Yeah.
That thing put me to sleep quicker than anything.
I haven't read it in a long time, but back in the 90s, I read that. I mm-hmm. got a copy from Mark at the time, and I went through it just to see what it was all about.
Well, it was 7 years ago now? Is that how long ago was it?
Was it just a year ago you totally redid it? Yeah, we had to totally redo it. And we had to do it on our own because the state took away. State NEMA used to help with that. And then we went to a format of online, you build it, you go. So materials were there. We just had to get it in there. So, all right.
That brings us to the end of our regular agenda other than the closed session. Anything else for the good of the order today? Mark, any real quick update on roads?
Doing what we can.
All ready for Thursday?
You can go ice skating down the Philly out of Blacktop.
What?
With that, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session for personnel for the Sheriff's Office at 10:17, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Schuler, second by Swavely. At 10:18. Please vote. 6 in favor.
I don't know.
Make a motion to come out of
You have your recorder on?
Yep, it's on.
A motion by Swavely, second by Dorn, come out of closed session at 10:31. Please vote. Let records show it's 5 in favor because Mr. Juergens has disappeared.
He went down to the basement.
He's in the basement and gone. Anything else for the good of the order? It's another year. Hopefully it's another good one. If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn at 10:32.